And good morning. It's coffee time, and it's January 11th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. We're going to start off with a song this morning. We'll be right back.
Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me. Let me praise a little more. Let me be, when I'm weary, just a little bit more cheery. Think a little more of others and a little less of me. Temptation bids me waver. Let me try a little harder to be all that I should be. Let me be a little meeker with the brother that is weaker. Let me think more of my neighbor and a little less of me.
Go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you have your hands upon this program. We ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. And just as the song says, Father, we ask that we can be a little meeker, a little kinder, a little better today than we were yesterday. We ask, Father, that you just continue to work in our hearts and the minds of your people all across this land. We pray that people wake up to the truth of who they are and what they are and who they are in Christ. We pray, Father, and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, and we just ask that you continue to stimulate your people, wake your people up, call your people to action. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in your people and through your people, and we just ask, Father, that you bring down our enemies lower and lower, continue to expose them for the plots and the plans that they devise against your people. We know that they hate Jacob Israel, and they're constantly fighting against us. We pray, Father, that you let them be caught in their plots. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And we'll bring on the men this morning. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And, folks, thanks for being here. We got a full house this morning. Got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world. A lot of things going on in this country. And it just, yeah, wow. Interesting. But, yeah, I'll open it up. Josh, what do you want to start off with this morning?
So I'm just thankful we've had us a little winter here. There's actually been a little ice and this and that. Just thinking about conversations in years past, just how good the seasons are, you know, how God so intricately designed the seasons, and you know, it's not just for the ground or for the crops or the animals, but it's for us as well. And you know, He gives us those seasons to take care of us and to provide for us, and you know, that the physical weather pattern season is applicable, and then also to in life. You know, we go through hard times that are seasons of that, and then gets better, and we got that springtime and the green grass and flowers, and you know, it's a blessing from God. So we just gotta remember it's there for a reason.
It is. Yeah, we got we were blessed with that too. I mean, we got cold snap came through, and it was good. We got some snow, we got some moisture. It's snowing up in the mountains. Supposed to get some more snow up in the mountains here in the next coming week or so. And it's interesting because, I mean, even that snow that we get up in the mountains that's, 200 miles away from us is water that we irrigate with, right around where I live. And, it's a big deal how much snow you get up in the mountains, because come springtime when that starts melting off, that provides a lot of water. And, thinking about that and, thinking about just, these seasons and these seasons that we're going through, it's good for us to have a cold snap. It kills a lot of viruses, kills a lot of stuff off that if you don't get these cold snaps, there's problems. And it seems like every year, every year you talk to somebody and, whether it's been dry or whether it's been wet, and, there's always people that, this is the driest year that we've ever seen. This is the driest year I can remember. This is the warmest year that I can remember. This is the coldest year that I can remember. We've had very, very mild winter so far. And, it was definitely good to get the snow. We got 6-7 inches of snow, and which isn't a lot for us, but I tell you what, my children were so excited. It started snowing about 9 o'clock at night, and about by 10 we had about 2 or 3 inches, and they were out playing in the snow. They were just having an absolute blast with it, that's all they wanted to do for the next 2 days is go play in the snow. So it was definitely a good season. It was a lot of fun.
Did you play with them?
I did. Yeah. And my wife, she came over to my shop and got a four wheeler and went out and hooked up some sleds and was dragging the kids around on that, and boy, she was the hit everywhere around here. All the kids that, all the neighbor kids and everything were over here, and they were all taking turns, and everybody's having a blast. So she was their hero for a couple of days.
I don't know. You could film a blooper video with that ice that forms in front of your shop going across the driveway right there. That could be pretty interesting there, just getting out of the shop. So. But anyway, season, and that's where we're at, and that's where we're at as a country. You know, we're in a season of chastening because of where we are. So the drone stuff here has gotten, more, and now they're calling in the feds and FAA, and they're supposed to be, the drones are supposed to have been overall a good bit of a critical infrastructure, in the region around me, like they're allegedly camping out over substations and this and that, whatever they're doing. But I don't know.
I didn't know that. That's
fall,
interesting.
About this stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know what they think they're doing or what they are doing. But supposed to be like 5 foot diameter, good sized drones, like they used to spray crops or something that size. But anyway, it's pretty much putting out that it's not a game. You know, if it's somebody doing that, there's going to be consequences.
Yeah, well, you're talking a lot of money. Yeah. Somebody's got a lot of money behind them to be able to fly the drones like that and operate them nonstop. They've got not only they got a lot of money, they got a lot of people working behind it. They got a lot of data storage. They're if they're filming it, they're I mean, you know, and who knows? It's just I'd kind of like to know what's actually going on with it. I just don't know, but. It's a somebody's definitely got a strategic plan that they have put into play. So I think you know that in these times that you know it's one of the things that I keep thinking about is no weapon formed against you will prosper, and we, you know that's just we walk in that, and we as Christians you know that and talk about it, but it's also you know being aware and you know. Being aware and targeting them with our prayers. You know, we see these drones and drone attacks, and basically they're not attacking yet, but, you know, our Heavenly Father knows if they're up to no good or what their no good they're up to is. And, you know, I think that it's something that's, you know, just, you know, we need to pray about it.
Hey man, it's going on. It's going on all around us, and it is interesting that there's no. Well, we don't know what they're doing. You know, I it's funny to me that everyone turns to this to the government entities out there, and it's like well, we just don't have any information on it. It's like so you've got, like you said, deep pockets, obviously some pretty deep connections because nobody knows what's going on, and you know, if anybody else does some little thing like that. Why you've got people knocking on the door, people trying to find out what's going on, you know, and everything else governmental issue wise, but this is just a non-starter, you know, so it leaves the guy scratching his head. I mean, there's those kind of things, going on all over the place. And, you know, if they're, I guess the first thing is if they're not willing to look into it or be concerned about it, then they must already be, involved in it.
That gives you your answer right there already.
Exactly. Yeah, you know. So the negative affirms the positive, more or less. That's kind of the way that works.
Yeah.
And then, go ahead,
Jim. No, go ahead, Tim.
I think it's interesting in California that all these things were done supposedly. You know, we have these fires down there. We had the Golden Globe. Was it the Golden Globe Awards or the Globe Awards, whatever they call them? But of course, I watched a clip out of that. They were making fun of God. The next day, you know, the Hollywood sign's on fire and a bunch of other stuff is. I think that, and you know, it's kind of the elephant in the room. These fires are right now, but I really believe, and it's not a popular thing to say, but. Their judgment from God. I mean, L.A. has been a hellhole, quite literally, for years now. We've talked about it, and we've warned people that they need to get out of that area, that they need to take care of that. And I know we were talking about some of that in a, you know, really a, what I would consider a positive fashion about the fact that, well, you know, God doesn't have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, that's one of those kind of things. I think that, you know, and somebody said, well, there's good people there, too. And my daughter said, well, God can take care of them, too. Anyways, he has been so far. So, you know, it's like, I mean, he brought Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he took care of those kind of things. So there's those people are the people that serve God and are part of his kingdom and everything else that are there yet. God can take care of them and will, I believe. That's my faith. And but I think also that they're trying right now, the spin doctors are really working on making this look like a false flag. And I use the double false as a double negative because they want to make it out like it was possibly, oh, the government or bad actors or the governor or you know anybody but God. We wouldn't want to say that God was calling down judgment on that empire out there, that empire of their own or anything like that. That would be bad, you know, so to say that. So they're doing damage control right now like crazy. They're trying to, as far as they don't want any of the glory to go to God. You know, those things. That's kind of my observational opinion.
I agree 100%, Tim, and that's what I've seen too. I think you're right. I think it's been, you know, a double-double. I think there's a lot of things that are going on. But the scripture that I was reading and really made me think about California is found in Revelation. And I'm going to start in Revelation 18, starting in verse 4. And says, "Then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive of any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven. And God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay back double for what she has done. Pour her double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, I sit enthroned as queen. I am not a widow. I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day, her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her." And when I read that, it was just more confirmation that, you know, that God is in control of this fire. And God, you know, was there things that were preventable? Absolutely. There was a lot of things. And I thought about the, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, about how life was put down at the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak. It was the lowest form that anybody looked up to. When somebody died, it's just they just kept working and kept going about their business. You know, in that part of California, they weren't allowed to cut the brush. They weren't allowed to clean things up. They, you know, were protecting the frogs and the grasshoppers and the squirrels and the trees and the bushes and the shrubs and you know, so much of the stuff. It's they put, you know, people's lives at the bottom of the list, on protecting those lives at the bottom of the list. And then you add in the sin. You know, the four lesbian fire chiefs that are running everything. I mean, and you're talking about the, you know, the head of, or basically where DEI started coming into, you know, these fire departments, and how they just infiltrated them, how they, and it's been going on for years and years and years. If you are a white male trying to get in on a fire department out there, you were on the waiting list for years. If you were a lesbian or queer, a black, a Latina woman, anything, anybody of color, anything else like that, if you were incompetent, you could get a job and be hired within days. And yeah. They, you know, they bloated in their sin. I mean, they, you know, they thought it was great. But, you know, I think that it ties in with that scripture, is be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that goes for cities and departments and states. And, you know, not to mention about, you know, this ungodly bastard that they got for a governor out there that has, you know, done nothing but to bring the wrath of God upon the state of California. And now I'm not saying there's not good people. I know some really good salt of the earth people in the state of California, and it's completely different. You get up north in Northern California, and I'm not saying that there's not good people in Southern California. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about the politics in some of the cities, and, you know, the sin that's come out of Hollywood and the filth that has come out of there over the years. I mean, and you know, just the you know, the fact that they're constantly pouring out this pornography that they, you know, they call entertainment. It's gotten filthier and filthier and filthier, and you know, they've tricked so many people into getting to watching it. It's you know, it was just a matter of time before the wrath of God came down upon there.
Yeah. Well, in Philippians 3 was the one that I thought about when I read some of that too, and it ties in with Revelations as well. starts at verse 18, and he said, it's interesting, it was kind of a side note in his dissertation there about attempting to follow God and to put ourselves in God-like state. But he said, verse 18, he said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind the earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And, you know, like you said, when we see that, they're all about the more shameful of a thing that they can promote, can display, can propagate. They just think that's wonderful. You know, they just think that's great. I mean, the more vile it is, the more they revel in it. They smear it all over themselves. They smear it all over their screens. And everything else. And they attempt through their, you know, we hear about all these horrid, horrid things about the things that they eat and the things that they do in order to live a long time and in order to have all this power and everything else. And it goes back to their belly. And I think that their attempt with this DNA changing is to, and I say attempt, but they seek to create the glorious body of Christ through their own devices and through their own power rather than through their worth and through the salvation and, you know, the keeping Christ's blood as our own or claiming. And that's what changes. But they're looking for that loophole. They're looking for that workaround, that Tower of Babel gate that they can do it on their own and thumb their nose at God, and it's just not going to work out. I mean, God already said that.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. I don't know, Josh, what's your take on it?
Well, once again, you know, that's the season they're in, and it's, I believe it is the wrath of God. And I don't know, I haven't checked this morning, but as of yesterday morning, some of the articles I was reading saying those fires were at 0% containment. Like, actually, I hadn't read an update this morning, but burned hundreds and hundreds of homes and buildings and businesses and, you know, and it is just as applicable for us as it is for them. You want to be under God's covering. You know, and to be under his covering, we got to be in his will and being obedient, being where we're supposed to be, and whether that's to hunker down where we're at or if we're supposed to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, whichever way, we need to be listening and doing our best to be obedient to God and be found where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. So, and he's the only one that can give you those answers.
And hopefully when we fight fires, we have water.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what, one of the things that I'm thinking about, too, is, you know, we as Christians, when we're fighting something, it's not a bad thing for us to be in a fight, and it's not a bad thing for us to be in a battle, but we need to have the tools and the weaponry to fight it.
Yeah, hearing you talk about God's deliverance and that coming from a child, you know, knowing I have that faith, I thought about, I saw some pictures of a little white church in the floods up there in Appalachian. I don't know if it's Tennessee, North Carolina, one or other, but where it was washed out all around it, but this little white church, little country church, was, you know, unharmed. There wasn't a board or anything out of place. And
I seen the same picture.
When you all...
And one of the things that I thought about, too, is that I thought about a couple things, but I seen that picture and I thought, you know, I bet you somebody prayed for that church. And then I thought the other thing that I thought is, you know, Christ died for that church. And I seen the picture too, and I mean it was nothing shy of a miracle. It was a miracle to see the devastation around that church and how it was not harmed. And I don't care who you in that situation, who you are, how many men you gathered together, how many engineers you had brought together, and if they had tried to save that church, they couldn't have done it. It would have been impossible.
I mean, if I remember correctly, I think even like the little white picket fence around the front of it, you know, it was someplace like it was perfect.
Yep.
But our God's still that same God that did for Noah and the ark, and has given so many deliverances, and that's why it's so important for us to remember that and to claim that covering, to claim that protection, because we are in a country that's on fire, both figuratively and literally, at the moment. But there's going to be hard times coming down the road. There already are now. That's a fact. But it's nothing that God can't deliver us from or won't deliver us from if we're doing our part, being where we're supposed to be.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And that's why, you know, just being prepared, you know, being prepared every day for, you know, what season the Lord puts us in next. You know, I think that's, you know, we need to continue to, you know, pray for grace and mercy in his wrath. Because he's bringing that wrath against a nation. Now, I'm not saying he's bringing it against us, but I think that it's something we need to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, and you know, make a conscious effort to do just that.
So one thing
the Bible talks. Good.
And I don't know if you guys have or not, but. So, like, you haven't heard the words Donald Trump in some time now. Like, that whole conversation and him being president-elect and, you know, the changes and the appointments, like, all that just went away, and it's not even being talked about. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, exactly. We got a caller. We'll go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Warren calling. I heard you talk about the church. I don't know if it's the one with the fires or whatever. I know they had churches that survived hurricanes, and I just wanted to praise the Lord that he looks after those buildings, and made me think of Pastor Peters, you know. The Bible says the gates of hell won't prevail against it, and our church survived fires, survived the sheriff coming up against it, and when God has a purpose, you know, for a building, there's nothing that can destroy it.
Amen.
And I got a praise report, too, that we finally got some snow up here in this part of Wisconsin. They say on the weather, you know, that we're in a drought. Well, you know, droughts could cause fires like that, too, especially up north, you know, when everything's so dry. So thank you, Lord, for the snow.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, God bless you.
Well, thanks for calling, Warren. You have a good day.
You too.
Yep, bye. Well, folks, and it's that easy. The phone number to call in is 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. We'll go back to you, Josh.
No, I was just saying, just thought it was interesting that, like I said, all the political talk and, you know, the appointments and all the news of Trump and the changes and all that, like everything just went away, and it's crickets. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It is. And
I've seen a lot on the news about the biggie now is back on those fires in California. The Hollywood elite are their homes are burning down, and they're jumping ship. They're pointing fingers at the Democrats and the DEIs and all that, and pointing at Newsom, the governor, and they're raising the same questions, the same stink as to why is this. When that one reporter, and then I saw a woman also on an interview ask Governor Newsom, why was there no water in the hydrants? Well, he says the locals will figure that out. they don't have a clue, but it's like that's the talking points now is even their own, they're turning on themselves, I guess is how I would see that. That when you start to get a little turmoil, when the sky is blue and the sun is shining and everything's fine and dandy to them in California, Newsom's the greatest thing ever. The queer fire chiefs and all that, they love it. But when it hits the fan, when the fires come and homes burn down, 10 I think the latest I saw yesterday evening was 10,000 structures have burned, and that's massive. We've got we've got local fire crews that are out there. My son's out there in Malibu with a fire crew that they just sent.
I looked, it was four major fires. All it's not just one fire.
I think there's five named fires. And yesterday evening I saw a blurb that another one had started up that they were dropping water on and trying to stop it from growing. So it's just, it is that season. I like how you mentioned that. It's that season out there that God has brought upon them. And I agree totally. He's brought it on. It's an opportunity for people to repent and return to Him. What can you expect when you have, the ungodliness that you have out there, it's in every state, but it's amplified there in California. God is not mocked, and he says, shall I not have vengeance on a people like this? But he does say during these times that we are his witnesses. We are his witnesses to be out there, to be able to share with those that are just getting their eyes open, that, guess why this is happening? Why do you think this has been happening for the last 30 years and it gets worse and worse and worse? Because the people are getting worse and worse and worse. And here you can read about it in Deuteronomy and in Isaiah and Jeremiah. And it gives us the opportunity to be his witnesses to his word and to his, not just the love of Jesus, but his judgment as well. And we need to be ready for that, ready for those opportunities.
Well, it's so important for us to continually be looking at ourselves. It's easy to see how, California's wrong for putting these homosexual fire chiefs in place and, how quick they are to hit the easy button and call the fire service out of Louisiana, which is a bunch of good old country boys, or, over with you guys, a bunch of, good solid mountain folks to rescue them. But it's important that we're looking in the mirror at ourselves and making sure that we see where we're at and if we've got any gods that have crept in and that we're inadvertently serving and putting on a pedestal above our God that are getting between, he and ourselves. And they're different for everyone. And you're the only one that can look at yourself and see where you're at. But sure is important to know where you stand as well.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that's something that I don't know if it's just me or if it's, sometimes I wonder, it's like, but it's a constant battle. You're constantly making those corrections and trying to, figure out, okay, maybe I was taught wrong, or maybe I believed something that was wrong, or maybe I put something up too high, or maybe I prioritized something too much. you know, and constantly trying to balance things and figure out where it needs to be. But sometimes it's a little easier than others, but it's a constant battle. No, at least for me it is.
Well, I think it never ends. That's part of that human condition that we are set here to struggle against. I mean, that is just it goes on. I mean, all of the disciples talked about it, even Paul. I mean, was Peter fighting that when he denied Christ there? Yeah, you know, I mean, he had this. And it's not, it's just one of those, it's a constant thing. And I think the enemies of God, they have that baseness in them, or that they do not change. I mean, they just, those ones, they never come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, I was thinking about, good example of that in fires is they had 60 trucks sent from Portland down there to help fight the fire. They stopped them at, I think it was San Francisco, for emissions testing. They probably won't pass, so they probably aren't going to be allowed to go on down. You know, it's like,
wow.
So, yeah. So is that, you know, that's just that never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Yeah. It's just, and they're having a big, they said, well, they'll probably end up sending them back. They may even receive a fine for entering California without proper credentials. So it's like, oh my, but there you go.
Derek, he sent in a scripture, and this is a good one. It's Isaiah 66:17. This is from the King James Version. It says, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree, in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination, and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. And I used that scripture the other day. I talked to somebody, and they were, you know, they were trying to justify about, you know, eating swine. And I said, well, you know, I said, what do you eat mice too? And like, no, that's disgusting. And I said, well, it talks about them being consumed together in the same scripture. And they said, oh, it does not say that in the Bible. And I said, yes, it does. And I brought that scripture up to them. And they're like, I've never seen this before. I didn't even know this was in there. And it was kind of comical, especially just to see the look on their face. And came back the other day, and they'd been looking at some scriptures and reading some stuff and watched some videos on it. I mean, that's one of the things that I've noticed. A lot of people, that's how they research things, is they go and see what somebody else has to say about it, and they'll watch a video on it. And I'm not saying that's a bad way to go, because we do the same thing. We try to put out good videos and put out videos, and it's, you know, it's a way of, you know, getting information out there. But what is boils down to is, you know, you got to go back to the scripture, get back to the word of God. And if, you know, what's on the video doesn't align with the scripture, then the video's wrong. And, you know, they were telling me that, you know, they had watched a video and, oh, it was justifying the eating of, you know, the unclean foods. And I said, well, what's the scripture say? And then they found another video that was talking about, you know, how it's in there, and it's in there for a reason, and it's something that's, you know, not done away with. And then if you do away with that part of the law, then you got to do away with all of the law. And it's, you know, basically, well, that's pretty much what they've done in a lot of ways. But I thought it was interesting. I thought that was a really good scripture. Is, you know, a lot of people don't know that, you know, that it talks about eating the mouse just the way it does the pigs.
Yes, it does.
Well, that's where the word of God is the end of the matter. You know, when it says it not to do it, you know, you're going to reason with God. You know, I got a friend who gets on me about not eating pork. He ain't mocking me. He's mocking God. You know, it's not me. It's him.
Right.
And when that book says it, it's the end of the matter. You know, and I always say you got to take the footnotes with a grain of salt too, because that's a man's opinion. That word needs no help. You need help understanding it, but you don't. You know, but so many people rely on those footnotes because they don't understand. But when you get that in your brain, that's the end of the matter, and that is the end of the matter. He said, "Don't eat it." Well, you don't even have to know any more on that. It is a science book, also, but science also proves it. The guy was clearing cancer dramatically in the early 30s already, and he looked at a microscope with 18,000 times stronger than an electron microscope, but it didn't kill the thing. And he watched the two foods that would cause cancer the most is pork and mushrooms. And he and workers, I don't know where that fits, but those are the three things that fed cancer the most. And I go to, I've gone to a restaurant here, a couple of restaurants, one, two of them, and just read the menu and there's some bacon or something in just about every entry. I mean, it's just phenomenal. You got to, you know, last night I ordered a salad without bacon, you know, whatever the good, but I'm just telling you, they're lacing this food on purpose. And our people are so dumb. They don't even know, you know. But my point is, when the God says it's the end of the matter, and that's the way I get by a lot of people because I don't really care what they think too much. You know, it seems a little brutal, but you got to get that way because it's the end of the matter. You know, I started in the book of Joshua last night, Joshua 1:9. It says, this is what we have to get through our bony little heads is, have not I commanded thee? Be strong, and be of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord the God is with thee whether thou goest. Now he's going to take out, wipe out a country, a whole nation right there, and that's when the spies went in there and Rahab got protected, but they wiped out a whole nation. And you go into, anyway. God, you know, I've been reading Deuteronomy lately, too. God wants to fight our battles. You know, and just like in the, who marched around the town and blew the, I don't like my own name, but anyway, he cut it down to 300 men, and he said, I didn't want you to think that you did it. I fought it. God wants to fight this battle for us. Just like you talked that church that spared. Now, that spoke to both sides. That talked to God's people. The church will be beside, and it talked to the other people. You ain't got a chance, you know. But God spurred that church for a reason, just for a picture, if nothing else, because, you know it's a Judeo-Christian church, but it is, you know, that takes me to the valley of dry bones, and then Israel will know who I am once and for all, and that's going to happen. We got to keep that in our mind. We can't be discouraged. We got to be strong. But anchor yourself in the Word, because that's the end of the matter.
You know, and that's what I do get it, the Judeo-Christian church, and just that little bit of leaven runs the whole batch. But I also know a Judeo-Christian church down the road for me that gave me a whole lot of hope for them, and not just them, but our area and our country. They were a Methodist church, and it's a farm community, dairies, and, beef cattle and whatnot. And just good old country folks. Well, when they come up with this Methodist deal, whenever the Methodists had to embrace the homosexuality, which, and I was explaining this to the children yesterday, how the Methodists are just baby Catholics, but the homosexuality and how Jesus wasn't the Savior and all this, they were the only Methodist church around that threw a tarp over the sign and put their foot down and said, no, we're not going to do this. And you know, everybody, all the rest of them voted, and they changed their bylaws and what have you. And these folks here didn't. And they went to war with the Methodists or whatever and ended up getting slapped with a big old fine. And the congregation came up with the money out of their pockets and paid the fine, and then they paid to get out of it and this and that. And you know, they preserve their own church, and they were a Christian church. They're not worried about being Methodist, you know. And you just don't see that very often, where people are willing to put their money where their mouth is and stand up and actually fight for their church. And then so as a result of that, a lot of these other churches around that have sold out, folks have moved and come here to this little church where it's got enough men with stones where they – actually still made a stand on the issue. And, boy, that's encouraging to see.
Well, you know what? If you took in your area, the people that pay insurance and the IRS, you could curb and gutter every freaking alley in the town with what we pay those people. You know, but you put it in your pocket. Now, that's where the Amish got it figured out. They keep it in their pocket, and they come forward, burn it down. The next day, everybody's there, and they build them a new one. And we could all do it, even whether we drive a buggy or a Buick. It don't matter. It's a matter of attitude. We could do it. You know, 100 years ago, it was different. One time, when they made me a deacon in that steeple house I was raised in, I went to see this old guy, Sam. We were raising money for something. And I asked him about it. Well, see, they have all these pipes up in front of that church, and they put that up in a depression. Anyway, so we were raising some money, and he wouldn't make a promise. He says, my promise is, here's the money. But he was grounded in that word. You know what I mean? And then pipe organs are up there. They wanted to tear it down and put all oak up there. I went back in that room. I said, them pipes are staying until Sam dies. He said, you don't know what we sacrificed in the depression to put them there. I said, them pipes stays until he's dead, and then you can do what you want. But it just struck me that that man was anchored in the word. And this is, you know, but you see, all these denominations got something. But see, that's part of it. Then they get to arguing over odds and ends and stuff like that. Everybody you meet has a different opinion on something. I mean, I'm sure Jason and I could find something we can argue over. It'd take a while, but we'd find it. But anyway, God's hand is on all of this. He's going to wake the church up one of these days, and we got to stand on that glory. You know, I think it was in Ireland, the miners had the mules they custom for. Boy, the Spirit of God came over, and they didn't do it no more, and the mules couldn't even understand what they wanted. You know, but that's the power that can happen, and we have to look forward to that day. And God wants to fight our battle, but we have to do it His way. And when you get queer at the last day, Sodom and Gomorrah, that's when God has. That's enough.
Yeah, you mentioned the insurance.
That church is witnesses. That's what they are, and that's why others came. Those that want to. It's not going to be all of them, but. But when you stand up for God, right? Colonel Moore taught us that. You know, give me 10 men. It only takes one. And then you got two, and then you got three. When you stand for what's right, though, the world will come against you. But it puts a smile on God's face and His blessing, that's for sure.
Well, just like the story Jason would tell about the swine's flesh and stuff, that just it's the word. And when he gets it himself, then he's kind of excited about it. But, you know, we've been trying to give this to everybody, everything. But you don't argue with people. Say, it is written. So you think you're smarter than God, huh? Good luck.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
I was talking
with a guy, and he was... you know, he decided that there's two people close by to, well, within a couple miles of where I live, and they were getting, they decided that they were going to start raising pigs. And I told him, I said, I don't think it's a good idea, and I don't think you're supposed to have anything to do with them, and I don't think you should have them on your place. And basically, it's like, you know, well, it's, you know, it's working out for, you know, this guy over here and this guy over here, and it's the biggest money maker that they got on the place is, you know, is these pigs. And I said, I've seen people make money on it. I've seen people be successful on it. But I said, I don't think that as Christians that we're to have anything to do with that. And, you know, of course, that's not the popular thing to say by any means. But, you know, it's like, okay, you're going to do what you want to do. You're a big boy. And, you know, I learned a long time ago that people really don't like they don't like financial advice. They went ahead and did those pigs, and I keep asking both the men. I ran into them yesterday, and we had dinner together, and I said, so how's those how's that pigs working out for you? And they just shook their head, and both of them said the same thing. They said, you know how much money those pigs are costing me. We can't give those things away. We can't do nothing with them. And they're just such a pain in the butt. I'm like, huh, yeah, I think I remember saying something about that. You know, I was just kind of being a jerk about it. But, it was I was trying to rub some salt in the wound that was hurting them a little bit, and talking about it. They were talking about how much money it cost them to feed those pigs, how much they've had, how they haven't been able to get rid of them, how they can't do this with them. Now they're to the age where they can't even breed them, and I mean, it was going on and on and on. I'm like, you'd be better off shooting them in the head and burying them. We can't do that. Got to try to recoup some of our costs. And it's like, okay, when you're on a sinking ship, sometimes the best thing to do is just get off. But I don't know. I think it's kind of funny how everybody thinks that they're gonna, you know, how great of a thing that it is to be raising, you know, swine.
Jason, you know what maturity is.
No, I haven't figured that one out yet.
It's not saying I told you so.
Yeah.
One day we'll get there, Mr. Paul, but just probably not today.
Yeah.
How about God told them so? Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those, when you see that, you know, it doesn't have any use for it. I mean, it goes on and... And I think I kind of wanted to hear the other thing is that, Josh, you had something on the insurance company, on the insurance, and I was interested because I had a little insurance blip too as regards to fires. So I want to see how those play just in case that comes out.
Well, I just, you know, looking around and so many folks around us right now are sick and have cancer and have the different ailments and what have you, and you know, church folks that claim to be Christians and that pray and what have you, good folks, and but it's just recently struck me, and it's been something Paul's talked about since I've known him, and I'm sure he won't tell me I told you so, but I was talking to actually a neighbor the other day, and we were talking about, you know, working for ourselves and different things that brought and all, and he was like, you know, man, I really would, but I just, you know, what would you do about your health insurance? And we lift that up as a God, and you know, we worry about our health insurance, and which, you know, we've had it for years, and I'm not leading anybody or judging us, between you and God. But, you know, it's a special kind of stupid that thinks that we can pay somebody to take care of us more economically than we can take our own money and take care of ourselves. And they're building these giant buildings and multi-million-dollar corporations that, you know, all these people are pulling salaries off of and all. I mean, it's just in the literal sense, like, the numbers don't work, and it's all such a racket. You know, they tell you that a doctor visit costs $300, but it's $300, and then they negotiate it with insurance, and they get it down to $82, but they say it's $300 so that you can think you're getting all this money's worth out of your insurance. It's all a racket. It's all a scam, and we as a people, I believe a big part of our problem is we're looking to that as a God. We put that in such a high place on our priority list of our health insurance that it's a small g God, and it's getting between us and God. And I believe in some cases he's the same thing. He's looking at us like, well, how's your health insurance working out for you? You know, because that's what you're worried about. You're not worried about, we go to the doctor and we take these medicines and we do this and do that before we even pray about what's wrong. It's like we got our priorities completely out of order. And most of the stuff that your insurance will cover ain't good for you anyway. And we know that, but yet we still put that insurance so high up there on a pedestal. And like I said, a lot of cases, I believe it's a small g God that we're depending on to save us. And I believe it's affecting a bunch of our health as a people, as God's people.
Well, yeah, I know.
California.
Go ahead, Paul.
I see in California that the insurance companies are abandoning these people left and right, and they're ending up with absolutely nothing. And I heard a story the other day, a guy, he's all paid up and prayed up in Babylon, and he got in an accident, and, you know, he had insurance and stuff. Well, the guy that he got in the accident with, it was his fault, well, sued him. And he said, well, I thought we were in a no-fault thing. He says, yeah, well, you got insured. Well, he don't have insurance. He can sue you. He says, you mean the guy, he has more he has more rights than I do. See, what you said, that ties right in with what you said, Josh. We are abandoning our responsibility, that whole insurance company. You know, car insurance destroys responsibility. Health insurance destroys faith. So, yeah, insurance is a curse, let me tell you.
I think that, and that's kind of where what I was looking at is there's so many examples of it's a business model. And the minute you get into that, it's no longer spiritual or Christian under these modern times. A lot of these business models are, they sacrifice everything for profit. And it doesn't matter what it is, food, morals, any kind of thing, as long as it makes profit, hey, it's okay. You know, I mean, we can make money on it. And we see the same thing there, just like in California. We had a neighbor, and he had a business over there, I don't know, out in the country here. Well, big fire, and burned the whole thing down. His insurance was paid up. He has to pay his insurance, you know, every 3 months, and boy, you don't want to be late. They'll cancel you, you know. I mean, nothing going on, but the place burns down, and of course, he's running a business. That's how he's making his living, and they basically, that's been over a year ago, and he's still waiting to get paid on his fire damage. I mean, you know, so that he can restore and continue on with what he did for a living, because he has no way to do that as far as rebuilding without that. But they just, it's an ungodly process that leaves you supplicating on the altar of commercialism. You know, I mean, you're just dealing with that thing. And we have these insurance companies in California saying, well, we're in excess of $150 billion in loss as of right now, and it's probably going to go higher than that due to these fires. They're just bowing out. I mean, it's like, those people paid you to assure, no way, to insure what they had. But since it's not financially or business-wise lucrative for you to do that anymore, why, you're just going to throw up your hands and refuse to take care. Well, it's going to
okay.
break us.
We well, are. Well, yeah, we got to wrap it up. We're out of time.
Sorry. Okay, that's it. That's what I had. Sorry.
All right. Thanks, man, for being here. And Remnant, thank you for being here. Join us for church tomorrow by going to www.scriptures4america.org. God bless.
Turn around.